the opportunity. Appreciate the opportunity. Always glad for a chance to preach. And appreciate Brother Skyver's excitement. And tell you what, you don't do much without somebody being excited about it. You know, you go around and watch a football game, basketball game, and there isn't anybody up there falling asleep. You know, somebody's excited about it, and you get as far as that goes, you're going to build a business. There's somebody in the top of the thing that's excited about it, trying to keep everybody else excited about it. And I'm glad to have somebody that's excited about serving God. And I enjoy listening to the singing. I get excited as they sing. And I'd like to say amen. And I appreciate this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's a well of pure water, and when I'm thirsty and dry, and a shelter when I'm cold and hungry, and it'll guide your life. And I appreciate the Word of God. When you're having a hard time, it's a good place to go. And I'm glad we got a good copy of it. Let's see, I'll probably preach about 30 minutes, just to give you some kind of heads up, which means that I'll get done preaching around 8:30. I don't count real well. No, I'll get done preaching around 7:25, 7, someplace in there, just to let you know. And the preacher has told me, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But that's about what I preach anyhow. And so just to give you a kind of, I like to, especially if services run a little later than normal, give you an idea. Because a lot of times I'm sitting out there and thinking, I wonder when this guy's ever going to finish. So anyhow, so now you know, you can decide to leave now, I guess, if you want to. Why don't you stand and turn your Bible. Psalm 108, we're going to read. Psalm 108, verse 1, David says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. David writes at the beginning of Psalm 108 there and says, O God, my heart is fixed. And I'm going to preach on that text tonight and then talk about different aspects, bring more scripture into it here and there as we go. And you got different things. I am going to go ahead and move all this because it'll make it easier on me. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd bless the time that we have together. Here tonight, thank you for this congregation. We pray that you'd bless the church and the work. Thank you for the church that's on the rise and churches across this country that are on the rise, serving you, winning souls. We pray that you'd bless this ministry. Holy Spirit, as I preach tonight, I pray that you'd take these words and apply them to hearts of people, affect and change lives, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. You know, a lot of things today, well, David writes there in Psalm 108, says, Oh God, my heart is fixed. A lot of things in America today, people are saying, boy, nothing is fixed. Everything seems to be in changing. One of the songs that they sang here tonight, you know, we started off with Andy Griffith, Hoss, and Little Joe, and all that kind of stuff, and now nothing's the same. We're into all kinds of mixed up crazy things. You can't hardly turn television on without seeing stuff you don't want to see. And, you know, basically because they've taken God out of everything. And, again, the theme in the country today seems to be that nothing is absolute, nothing is sure, everything is changing, you can't know anything for sure, and don't have your mind made up about anything. But I'm thankful to God that as I read my Bible and I've got something here on which I can fix my heart, I can settle, that some things, I mean, they're just true. And I don't have to keep rethinking it. It doesn't have to go back and re-examine and all that kind of thing. But again, that's the opposite of what we hear on the news today. Seems like you turn on the evening news, about the only thing they're sure of in America today, or in the world today, is that us independent fundamental Baptist Christians, that we're wrong. They seem to know that we're wrong, but other than that, everything else might be right. And I don't know why we at least couldn't get on their list of people that might be right, but we're not. They're convinced we're wrong, and they'll tell the world, you know, you stay away from this crowd, but anything else you want to choose is okay, and who knows, there is no absolute truth, nothing is for sure. But again, David wrote, and God's word says, Oh God, my heart is fixed. Yes. And I think as what America needs today are some churches that would say, God, our heart is fixed as a church on some things. What this state of Ohio needs is a group of church, a lot of church, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. what this area here needs is a church in Ravenna, Ohio, that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. What churches need are preachers that would say, God, my heart is fixed on some things. What churches need are choir members and youth directors and Sunday school teachers and bus workers and ushers that and deacons, sure need deacons, that would say, God, my heart is fixed on some things. I've got my mind made up. It's not open to debate. I'm not going to rethink it and rethink and rethink. I've settled it, and that's it. And that's the way things ought to be. But again, the world is so different. When I was 3-4 years old, if somebody had said to me, Jim, what's a marriage? I'd have said, well, that one's easy. You know, I got a mom and a dad. That's a marriage. That's a family. Right. And I got a mom and a dad, and I got me and my brother. My sister wasn't there yet when I was three or four. And it's a family. Right. Well, now the world says, oh, not so sure. You know, it might be a couple of moms or who knows what. Or a couple of, you know, you can't tell what a family is, and you know, don't be sure everything's okay. Keep your mind open, and you know, open-minded just seems to be the thing. Again, I'm glad to have an open mind about some things. There are things that you know, I don't care. We're traveling today, and we said, "Girls, where do you want to eat?" And somebody said, most of them said, "I don't care." For some reason, I've figured out this year's group does not like Taco Bell. You know, generally, it's any place but Taco Bell. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big Taco Bell fan either, so that works out okay. But we're traveling along, and I don't care that much where we eat. I got an open mind on where we eat. I've got an open mind on they were talking, we were back, they're going to redecorate the college lobby and paint it probably a new color. You guys, gals, the first ones find that out in the student body. They're going to be working on that this summer and working on new colors. And I've got an open mind on that. Really doesn't make a lot of difference to me. My secretary, one of the interior decorators in the church, will get together and make some recommendations. Brother Fugit probably pick it. I don't know. I really don't care. I'm open-minded on that. But, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says what color you're supposed to paint the lobby. But there is a lot in the Bible that says a whole lot about how to live. And on those things, when it comes and God's Word says something, we ought to have our mind made up. We ought to fix it and make a decision. You don't need to keep re-examining, rethinking, rethinking. And I've been preaching this message quite a bit, and my heart is fixed on some things. First point I've got in here is my heart is fixed on my King James Bible. Yeah. And the same old notes, I've used this for a long time. And you say, Brother Jorgensen, don't you think you should have an open mind and rethink that? And you got the NIV and the RSV and the ASV and the NASV and the on and on and on it goes. But I'm not a part of Bible a Month Club. My mama, when I was a young boy, handed me a King James Bible. She said, son, this is God's inspired word. You read it, study it, follow it, base your life on it, stick with your King James Bible. As she was getting ready to die at 91 years of age a few years ago, she kept saying, you stick with your King James Bible. And I believe my mama was right in that this is God's word. It's a scripture. And, that somebody says, well, that's kind of simplistic. Just look, I've studied Hebrew, took Hebrew in seminary, did all that. I studied Greek. I taught Greek for a while, so I've been through some of that kind of stuff. And I still am glad to stick with my good old King James Bible. Nobody's going to improve on it. It's a blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. I based my life on it, and I'm just not going to change. Not gonna, you know, there's no point in rethinking it. Right. And you ought to settle some things in your life. Yeah. Now, you know, it's great to say, amen, it's God's inspired word. As far as that goes, I've settled on, in fact, I ought to read it. Yeah. And, it's wonderful to say, boy, this is great, and it's God's, and I'm going to stick with my King James Bible, but if all it's doing is sitting on a coffee table or sitting in a car till I go to church next week, it's not doing you any good in your life. And you ought to fix your heart and say, I believe King James, I'm going to stick with my King James Bible, and I'm going to read it and follow it too. I'm going to try and obey it and live by it. You'll just make up your mind. 39 years, August 2nd, that my wife and I stood at the altar at Highland Park Baptist Church. Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. J.R. Faulkner stood there. Dr. Robertson said, "Wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife?" And I said, "Yup," or something like that. And he said to her, "Do you want him?" And she said, "Yup." And she said, "I sure do. Boy, what a great deal," she said, and more or less. And, yeah. And that was it. You know, my mind was made up. And, someplace before that, I stopped looking because my heart is fixed on that beautiful woman sitting on the second row. We've been married 39 years, just about, and my heart is fixed. It's done. And of course, the world say, "Oh, no, keep an open mind, keep looking. You may find something else you like better. You may be more compatible someplace." And that's why they got all the misery and heartache and divorce and everything else in the country. Broken homes and messed up. And, some people have been through things like that. And understand God has a place for everybody. And God, is happy to have everybody in the church and wants to use everybody. But certainly the ideal, and everybody would say the ideal and God's plan is one man and one woman for life. Sometimes it hadn't worked out that way, and undoubtedly, group this size, there's people here tonight would say, "Well, it didn't work out that way for me." But you can base your future on principles in the Word of God, and that's all any of us can do. None of us have followed the book all the way through all the time. But anyhow, my heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. I believe Acts 5:42, the Bible says, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I believe that's God's plan for spreading the gospel and getting people saved, confronting people with the gospel. More and more today, it seems like we're getting away from that and saying, "Well, we don't necessarily need to go and witness personally. After all, I'm part of an organization, and we send out mass mailings, and that takes care of my witnessing for me." And it's good to send out mass mailings. I don't mind you using email. Some of them have got these things where the telephone will call and witness to everybody over the telephone from their computer somehow or another. And I don't know. You can try it, I guess. I've never heard of many good results from it. But I'm for every way to get the gospel out. But none of those take the place of you and I individually confronting somebody with the gospel, getting the tract out of your packet or however you're going to do it. And I got your tracts and a thank you. There's my tract. And passed several of those out today. Witnessed to a couple people this morning. Both of them told me they were already saved. Not sure. We were getting ready to check out of the motel this morning. But my heart is fixed on door-to-door, confrontational, soul-winning, confronting people with the gospel. Somebody says, "Well, Brother Jorgensen, doesn't always work real well." Look, God commands it. It's up to me to obey it. Right. Not up to me to figure it out. I just have to have faith that, if that's what God tells me to do, that's what I'm supposed to do. Right. And if God says this is the way to do it, then I ought to do it. Some ways it takes faith on the part of two people for somebody to get saved. Now, before you figure out I'm messed up, let me explain that. Certainly, it takes faith on the part of the person getting saved when he puts his trust in Jesus Christ. He has to get. That's how he gets saved. But it took faith on the part of the soul winner to say, "Well, this is God's message. That person out there is lost. I believe God's telling me to go. I'm by faith. I'm going to follow the method that God told me to do. I'm going to take that message out there by faith. And maybe God will bless it and somebody will get saved. Maybe it'll fall on dry and stony ground. I don't know. But I'm going to obey God, do what it says. I'm going to be a soul winner." And there's two people's faith involved when somebody gets saved frequently. But my heart is fixed on my King James Bible. It's fixed on door-to-door soul winning, confronting people with the gospel and obeying and following it. And it doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter God wants us to be soul winners. And you ought to be involved in that, and you ought to be a part of it. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. It's fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. I believe in that. And the Bible says in Psalm 41:1, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor." If you read your Bible much at all, spend any time reading Proverbs, you can't miss the fact God loves the poor people. And again, as you look in the Bible, as you look at your New Testament, Brother Fugit pointed that out to me the other day in a different way. And again, you look at Jesus. Jesus went to the poor. The rich came to him. Rich young ruler came to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Jesus kept looking for the poor. Now, the emphasis today in some of our conferences, everything else is, well, you stop reaching the poor, you got to go to the upper class, you got to change your method a little bit, you got to change, they almost want us to change our message, you got to adapt here, and you got to be user-friendly and do all this stuff, because you got to reach the upper class. Look, my heart is fixed on my bus ministry, my King James Bible, my heart is fixed on reaching poor people. That's what Jesus went to. I've been working in bus ministry, I guess, probably 30, 35 years, something like that. My wife and I visit on a bus route just about every weekend. We're in Lexington, working the bus church, children's church on Sunday morning, and get involved in that. And God blesses people that care for the poor. I mean, he just does. You say, well, I don't know. How does it work out? No, but God does it. I mean, if we really believe there's a God and he's really alive, and he says, blessed is he that considereth the poor, that helps out poor people. Then if I want God's blessing, I guess I ought to try and find somebody that's poor and help them out.
Amen.
I've said for a while, my wife and I have spent our life caring for our three kids, our college kids, and our bus kids. And we've let God take care of us. Really haven't worried a lot about ourselves and what we're going to have and how we're going to retire and all that kind of stuff. We've spent our lives taking care of our three kids, our college kids, and our bus kids. We've let God take care of us, and God's done a marvelous job.
Amen.
And as far as you say, well, God's taking care of everything. And I'd rather have God taking care of me than anybody I know, including Russell Anderson, any other millionaire.
Amen.
God never, sometimes, people get, but anyhow, or they may run out of money or something. God's never going to run out of everything, anything. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. It's fixed on door-to-door soul winning. It's fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. My heart is fixed on preaching. I just believe in old-fashioned, leather-long, hellfire, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, barnstorming, preaching of the Word of God. I don't mind the suave talks if you want to work one of those in here and there. I suppose you get a lot of those from Brother Skyver. He just stands up here and he's got this marvelous outline and you say, oh, that was so, it just made me feel good on the inside. You feel good when he preaches because you're getting excited about the Word of God. And you're getting excited about truths of God. My heart is fixed on old-fashioned preaching. I don't mind the suave talks if you want to do them, but you got to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel sometimes offensive. People around the country, seminars, so on, you go, well, you got to back off on that. You don't want to offend anybody. Somebody forgot to send Jesus that memo, or maybe he just never read it. What about when he walked into the temple, found the money changers there, said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You guys have made it a den of thieves and threw the tables over. That might have offended somebody. They might have gotten upset. What about when he looked at the Pharisees and said, you're of your father the devil.
Right.
Talk about being offensive.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jesus believed in preaching. And, Peter there in Pentecost Sunday, he looks at the Pharisees, the Jews there, and said, you crucified, God sent the Christ, the Messiah, to you, and you birds crucified him. That's pretty in-your-face preaching, Acts 2:46, and again in Acts 4:10. And Acts 5:28, you got the same kind of reference. Again and again and again, preaching in the Word of God is hard. It's preaching. I don't mind dramas. We have a couple of plays out of our grade school, high school every year. I like to go to them. They're fine, but they don't replace preaching. I don't mind music. I'm traveling with a singing group this summer. My wife and I are. I enjoy listening to music. Gets me stirred up to serve God. Gets me inspired to do something for Him. And I like Christmas cantatas and all those kinds of things. They're all fine. But none of that replaces preaching. My heart is fixed on preaching of the Word of God. My heart is fixed on the local church. I just believe in the independent fundamental Baptist church, which is really, I think, if you read and study and follow, try and find a Bible definition, that's the only thing that is a church, is an independent fundamental Baptist church. You got saved, you got baptized, you get added to the church. And so it's, and church is certainly independent and so on, but I believe in the ministries of the church. I think, you know, you're here tonight on a Sunday night, rainy weather. Most of you came in during the rain. And I told the girls, aren't you glad we got here early? We got here about 4:30, 4:45, something like that. It was nice and dry. It was warm, but it was nice and dry outside. Brought everything in, got all set up. They didn't get their hair all wet and all those kinds of things that girls, you know, worry about. But yeah, but most of you came in during rain. I guess you believe in going to church. And you're here, but you ought to. I mean, I believe in going to church. I don't know when or how I'm going to die, but I know it's not going to be at 7:30 in a car wreck on a Sunday night. Because I'm going to be in church.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. I'm not going down in a plane on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock because I'm going to be in church.
Right.
Now, I might on Thursday or Tuesday or Saturday. I don't know. I'm hoping Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking he must be.
But
I believe in going to church. I believe, you know, your ministries ought to be a part of church. Church is the only thing that God promised perpetuity to. It's going to go on forever. It's going to be, he promised power to the church. He promised to work through the church. I believe in giving to the church. I enjoy giving to the church. I enjoy giving to, I just enjoy supporting the ministries of the church. And most people, I saw, you know, somebody had church we were the other day, top 10 things I've never heard in church. And one of them was, boy, that stewardship campaign always warms my heart and gets me excited about serving God. Another one was, wait a minute, it's my turn to sit on the front row. Things that we just haven't heard in church. I know the sermon's 25 minutes longer than normal, but that's okay. It's blessing my heart. Just keep preaching. Things that we don't hear in church a whole lot. But anyhow, my heart is fixed on the local church, and my heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. I believe, and I just do. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if I'm not seeking God's righteousness, I'm missing out on a whole bunch of stuff. All these things. He's talking there, blessings in general, financial blessings. As far as that goes, if I'm preaching or teaching Bible college or whatever, and I'm not teaching preacher people to seek God's righteousness, I'm cheating them out of God's blessings. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, Baptists, we don't like the word holiness a whole lot. You know, the Pentecostals, some of the others have kind of taken that word over. But boy, holiness is a Bible word. That holiness is all through this book. Now, I don't mean, you know, certainly all of us sin every day. Nobody lives a perfect life. I mean, I understand. I know all that. But God teaches holiness, which means separation, separation from the world unto God. I mean, that's all through from the time that God began and separated light from darkness in Genesis. I mean, this book is separation all the way through it. Holiness, clean living, righteous living, standards. And, again, if anybody says he has no sin, he deceives himself. The truth is not in him, 1 John. But just because we do sin doesn't mean we have to be happy about it or content with it. You ought to fight it. You ought to get it out of your life. But anyhow, my heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. And somebody says, Brother Jorgensen, everybody doesn't live that way anymore. Don't you know this is the 20th century? No, it's the 21st century, actually. I know what year it is, but I know that the book I have in my hand hadn't changed.
Yep.
It was forever settled in heaven before it was down here, and it was penned in the different languages originally and translated, preserved and translated for us. And just like Timothy had the scriptures when he was reading them as a boy, and I've got the scriptures in my hand today, and it doesn't change. It's the same. Now, the world has changed. 62 years old, and several of you here tonight look, I'm sure, a good bit older than I am. It's unbelievable the change I've seen in my lifetime in the world. I mean, things that you didn't even hear about 30, 40, 50 years ago now are commonplace and on the evening news all the time. And it just didn't exist 30, 40, 50. But I'm not supposed to just stay an arm's length from the world, and as they keep getting worse, I keep... I'm not as bad as they are. I'm same distance from them. That's not my goal. My goal is take this book and say, this is what God teaches. I'm supposed to live like this.
Folks think my wife looks like a, you know, dress is unusual, I'm sure. You know, dresses and so on. And people think my, you know, I say, well, you know, your hair's, and of course now kind of short hair is coming back. It's not as unusual as it was for a while there. People think, oh, you know, you don't go here, you don't go there. Man, how do you have any fun? Man, I go to church and have fun. I read my Bible and have fun. I go soul winning and have fun. I do other stuff too. I mean, we live in Lexington. I'll go down and watch Kentucky play basketball once in a while. And especially last year or so, it's been a lot of fun because about all they do is win. And maybe that's not a good thing to say in Ohio State country. But we'll take you in basketball. Not sure about football, but basketball is our sport down there. And, my heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. I still think men ought to look like men and women ought to look like women. I still think marriage is between a man and a woman. I still think alcohol is out of hell. I still think gambling is sin. I still think drugs are wicked. I think Hollywood is messed up, and I really don't want much of anything to do with it or everything it puts out. I still believe you ought to get married pure. I still think, I still think God knew what he was doing when he wrote this book. As far as that goes, I think all the old-time preachers that taught us this book and taught us how to build churches, you know, the John R. Rices, the Jack Hiles, Lester Roloff, Lee Robertson, B.R. Lakin, Tom Malone, people like, I don't think they're all mixed up and wrong about all that stuff. I think they'd followed, they'd read that book, they figured it out, they fixed their hearts on some things, and, that's just where I am today. Same place God's book put them has put me, and it ought to put you in the same spot. What's your heart fixed on tonight? What do you need to fix your heart on? Maybe you're sitting here tonight, you say, Brother Jordan, boy, everything you said, I'm for it. But I, you know, in my life, I'm for everything I said. Sometimes I have to look and say, you know, but my soul winning's gotten a little bit weak recently. Or my Bible reading, I mean, I believe I got my King James Bible, but my Bible reading's got a little bit weak recently. Or I believe in righteous living and standards, but I probably let this part slip a little bit. Or, what do you want to, maybe your marriage. What do you need to fix your heart on tonight? Just say, God, look, this is a woman you've given me. This is a man you give me. I'm going to fix my heart. I'm going to settle it. We're just going to stay. We're not getting along. We're fussing sometimes. My wife and I don't always agree on things. She's wrong often. And, but we both fixed our heart. This is my mate. I'm not debating. It's just over. It's just settled. And what do you need to fix your heart on tonight? What do you need to drive down some stakes and say, God, I'll put a stake down there. This is where I'm going to stand. I'm not going to move. I don't need, again, the world keeps saying, well, maybe re-examine, rethink. If I got the answer key in my hand, I don't need to rethink the answer. I just need to follow and live it. And I've got the answer key right here in my hand. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Wonder if God has spoken to your heart tonight in some way. You say, Brother Jorgensen, there's some things I need to fix in my heart, or maybe things I've believed, but I haven't been practicing my Bible reading, my prayer, some of my standards. I have the right standard, but I've been yielding to temptation, haven't been living by it. Wonder what you need to fix your heart on tonight. If God's spoken to your heart some way like that, I'd like to know about it. Would you raise your hand? The things in my life I want to fix my heart on tonight. Would you raise your hand? Keep it up for a minute or two. Let me see them. Anybody else? The things I want to fix my heart on tonight. I'm just not going to change. I'm going to settle it once and for all. Put your hands down if you would. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I haven't talked about that, but you know, the Bible says you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You can have that settled forever. I went to church 22 years before I settled that for sure forever. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight who would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I just don't know. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I see one. Anybody else? I'd like to settle it, but I'm not sure. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands in different ways and pray that you'd speak to hearts, that you'd move, and Holy Spirit of God, bring conviction and help us to, Holy Spirit, to live for you, to settle some things and fix our heart on some things. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. When she does, why don't you, if you raise your hand, why don't you leave your seat right away and start coming to the altar. Go ahead and begin to play. If you raise your hand for something there, whether you say, Brother Jorgensen, there's some things on which I want to fix my heart. Some things, maybe my Bible reading, yeah, I believe it, but the reading of it has slipped. I believe in the principle of soul winning, but I haven't been doing much of it. I'm glad the church has a bus ministry, but I've not been working in it, and God spoke in my heart about working a bus ministry. I wonder if there's some things that God's spoken to you tonight, and you'd say, I want to fix my heart on some things.
The altar's still open. We'll find a place, make a church, a chair, an altar. There's no room at the altar. Oh, we need to fix our heart. We need to fix our heart on the things of God. Is your heart fixed on reading the Bible every day? It should. We ought to determine, dear God, I don't care what happens, there's not going to be a day goes by that my eyes don't read the Word of God. We have a fixed heart for soul winning. God, this week, Lord, my heart's fixed on. I'm gonna tell someone. I'm gonna meet someone somewhere somehow, and I'm gonna tell someone about Christ. My heart's fixed on that. I'm gonna carry gospel tracts with me. I'm gonna be available. So when you give me the opportunity, my heart's fixed. I'm gonna witness for you. Lead us another song, Brother Mark. If you'd like to come for any reason, whatever God puts in your heart, maybe you want to be saved. One lady came and got saved tonight. One lady, Sonia had a visitor, and that lady come and trusted Christ. Isn't that exciting? Maybe you would like to come and trust Christ as your Savior. We're not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about making Christ your Savior so when you die, you don't die and go to hell. Because there is a heaven, there is a hell.